Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated. This has been a really difficult week for those of us here at St. Andrews. Ellie's death was such a shock to so many people. She had a long and very, very intense battle with lung cancer. And we prayed and prayed that she would be able to overcome it, that she would fight it, and how often she would say, I'm going to beat this. And then to have her die this week, it was devastating for all of us. And Ellie was probably one of the first people I knew when I came to this town in 1979. So we have a very long history together. Her daughter was even in our wedding. Not our wedding, but my daughter's wedding. So it's been a very short week. And then, you know, I'm getting ready to open the Gospels. And, you know, I'm supposed to read the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Gospels, reflect on it and pray on. So what do I get? The rising of the dead from Nain and also from Kings. And, you know, my first thought was, you know, Lord, I do not want to preach on this. I do not want to preach on it. Because what we know of physical existence is that we die. And when we die, we do not physically come back from the dead. And so it's a hard text this week for me to preach on. I know that it's contained in the Gospel of Luke and not contained in the other Gospels. I know of all the parallels between the Kings, the widow having the sun rise from the dead with Elijah, and also here in Luke. But as I was reflecting on these readings, they began to really resonate with me. And what resonated the most with me is that the widow in the book of Kings is about ready to die. She has nothing left. So she is eating her last food, and then she will just die. And then Elijah comes, and she even gives part of her last food to him. And the jar contains, jar continues to have meal in it, and the oil continues to stay there. And then when things are looking good, whoosh, her son is taken from her. And in Jewish law, this meant she had nothing. In Jewish law, this meant that she was an outsider, that she had no one to care for, no money, nothing. She was one of the most marginalized people in Jewish society. And Elijah has deep compassion on the widow. Elijah prays to God to raise her son, not for the son's sake, but for the widow's sake. And if we looked at the text in the Gospel of Luke today, Jesus is coming towards Nain, and he sees the widow, and once again he recognizes how marginalized she is. She's a single. She has no husband. Once her only son dies, she has nothing. And he has great compassion for her, great love comes for her. So much so that he breaks through the ritual purities of the time and touches the dead corpse and tells the dead corpse to rise up. These two stories are not about the two men that were raised from the dead. They're about our Lord's compassion on the marginalized. Our Lord's deep love and compassion for those who are outside of the society, those who are, in a sense, being oppressed by the society on a lot of different levels. Now, when I look at this word compassion, and I'm going to have to reach into my vest, it's a Greek word, and if you're Greek majors, close your ears because I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's something like splagnozomi. It's the word that is used here, and this word is used 12 times in the Gospel. Comes from within. It's used to refer to Jesus. Jesus, when they describe him, is one who acts with compassion. Jesus uses this word when he describes the prodigal son when he returns to his father. It's the word Jesus uses for the good Samaritan who helps the man by the side of the road who's not of his faith. This word has to do with an emotion deep within us. And in the ancient Greek, it has to do with the bowels. The bowels, the heart, the lung, the liver, the innards, so to speak. Because for the ancient Greeks, that was the seat of emotion. It's not a pretty word. Fairly kind. You know, if you think about it, it's not a polite word. It's pretty guttural. But but it has deep meaning because the passion, the emotion is so deep that it flows out. It's not commanded. You cannot be commanded to have this kind of compassion. It has to flow from deep within you. And we see an example of that in our epistle today with Paul. Paul was a very faithful Jew. He loved the Lord. He loved the law. He supported it. He was a soldier for God, literally. He was such a soldier for God that he killed the Christians. Because by God, they were not of his belief. They were going against the law. That he was making a sacrilege of everything that Saul had thought was important. But somewhere, he had an experience. It was not from his intellect. Paul says it's not something I was taught. It was not from his executive function. It was not something that he managed to put together to create a whole system of belief. It was from deep within. He had an experience. God's Spirit moved within him, and he realized what he was doing. He realized that in his love and his zeal for God, he was in fact killing God. And his world, the structures that he had created and the walls he had built to protect himself suddenly collapsed. And he was reborn. He was given new life to rise up again. Just as Jesus told the man who was dead to rise up in the funeral procession, so did Paul rise up as a new man. Now, Paul Nechelin is a Lutheran pastor who writes about this gospel. And what he says is that he sees this gospel today as a big battle. And it's a battle against the forces of death, the juggernaut of death. A juggernaut is a big force that kills and destroys everything in its path. And the juggernaut of death is represented by, in this gospel, by the funeral procession. The person died, and in their culture they would have a parade through the town so people would know the person had died. And as they paraded along, more and more people would line up and fall in and begin wailing. And they would take this body to the edge of the city and outside for burial because they didn't want to contaminate the city. So this is the big force, the big army of death, so to speak, the juggernaut of death that is parading through the city, building up cries and wails and passion and intensity. And it's met, coming from the outside, by Jesus, by this large force of Jesus and the Jesus people who are filled with compassion, with love, with light, who are not afraid of the rigidities of the society, the rigidities of thought. They're filled with this deep compassion rising out from under them. And where do they meet? The gospel has them meet at the gate. And in the ancient world, the gate was the line of battle. The gate was the last barrier of protection for the city. And this is where they meet. The two forces meet. Jesus reaches out his hand, touches the dead body, and says, "Rise up." And the juggernaut of death is defeated. Wonderful, wonderful story and reality, a parable, or an example of a miracle for us. By compassion and by love and by the breaking down of barriers, the juggernaut is defeated. And for us within our lives, within our society, within each of us, we have huge juggernauts of death. We have walls that imprison us. We have walls of thought. We have walls of reasoning. We have walls of culture that separate us. And think of how often in our lives we're told, "Don't go there. If you go there, who knows what's going to happen after that? You know, if you believe that, who knows what's going to happen after that?" These defenses that we build up can become so strong. That does not mean that we don't have parameters with which we work, but we have to recognize that that's what they are. They're parameters. It doesn't mean that we don't have things that we believe in that we probably would do or wouldn't do, but these are still man-made thoughts. And God continues to break down our walls of fear, our walls of death, so that we too, as the people of God, can rise up and go forward into the world with a deep sense of compassion and trust that instinct of compassion that rises up within you. flow through. Amen.
Amen.